In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a true story from some time back, I encountered someone after a service I'd done, and as is the case with many of our services here, it was done primarily in English, actually virtually all in English, with maybe a couple of things that were repeated, said in Greek. The person was visiting our church, and she goes, "Father, it was a beautiful service, I wish I could have understood it." And I said, "Well, you know, if you sit in anywhere near the middle of the church, this sound system is going to capture where you're sitting and you'll hear everything perfectly." And she goes, "No, I just don't speak Greek." And I thought for a bit, and it made me realize in communication how we really can't take anything for granted. Not only that we're speaking clearly enough and explicitly enough, but we can't even assume that the listener is actually listening to what we think we're saying, and there can be such great miscommunication. Hopefully, for most of us, the communication disconnectedness isn't quite as abrupt as that, but it happens. And I know for me, it's certainly the case. I apologize. I sometimes still lapse into the upper Midwest ironic way of talking, and I apologize for that. But this morning, I don't want to say anything ironic. I want to speak very plainly and talk about eternity and talk about judgment. Because in addition to this being Meat Fair Sunday, this is Judgment Sunday, where the church reminds us that each one of us sitting here today, each human being not sitting here today, everyone in the world will one day be judged for what they have done here on the earth. Now, there is a guarantee for eternal punishment. And it's not what you think it is. It's not Matthew 12:31, that therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. That's really not it. When Jesus is saying that, he's saying, yes, if you deny the Spirit, you're not forgiven because I can't forgive you. It's like saying everybody suffering from strep throat who refuses to take antibiotics will not recover from strep throat. Take your antibiotics. So if we want our sins forgiven, then join ourselves to Christ through the Holy Spirit. But this morning's gospel reading does very explicitly delineate that there is one path to guaranteed perdition. And that is to ignore the needs of the least of our brethren. To not feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the sick, etc., etc., etc. And it's stated repeatedly in two different ways so that we get the message. And this is the only time when Jesus says, you are guaranteed to be condemned for this, for not taking care of the least of our brethren. And so those words demand a response, don't they? I mean, it's scary. And the older we get, the scarier judgment becomes. It's scary to think, have I done the most that I can for the people who are in need? And so this Great Lent, we're going to try something on the Sundays of Great Lent. The first Sunday of Great Lent is 2 weeks from today. But every Sunday of Great Lent, we'll have a little display set up downstairs. And I hope and pray that the money that we're saving by not having the latte with extra whipped cream and not going out to dinner and not going out to the movies and eating simply, I hope that that money that we're saving, we can put to good use, and that would be to support what we do here at the church with regard to missions, and the missions that we are bound to one way or the other. And every Sunday, we'll just have the box there, or the display will be up, and put what you can in it. I don't even think we should set a fundraising goal, because God has the way of providing when it comes to Holy Trinity. Now, what ministries am I talking about specifically? We do a lot here, and I'm actually deliberately omitting some of the ministries that we do because they don't have a, a need for a specific fundraising effort, but here they are. Locally, it's to gather money to help support what we do with regard to our in-town local missions, the logistical things that we need to provide when we do the food bank distribution, and other local ministries. We have a relationship with Nathan Hoppe in Albania and his family. He's spoken in this church. We've heard about him before. They've been there for going on two decades helping the church rebuild post-communism, helping Archbishop Anastasios spread the gospel in a country that is hostile to Christianity, taking care of the needs of all kinds of people, whether they're Christian or Muslim. There's something called the Missions and Evangelism Ministry of the Metropolis. It used to be called CUME. And they have an office and a team of volunteers as well as a one paid staff member, but they are there to help start new churches, to help some of our struggling churches. And the money that they use not only pays for their staff member, but will help us do things like demographic analyses and provide other programs for struggling churches. In the past, last year principally through the generation of the Philotohos, we were able to help out with the summer camp that I volunteered at in Moldova a few years ago. The Republic of Moldova is a very poor country. The priest there that puts on this summer camp works very hard to provide for the needs of the youth, but a little bit of money going their way will help them make ends meet. In the past, we've helped out the so-called Station of Love, Stathmos Agapis, which is a soup kitchen and center for ministry in Thessalonica. And Father Alexandros, we recall, has spoken at this church. And then there is something we've been trying to do for a number of years, and that's support the church in the Philippines. And that's what I want to talk just a little bit about this morning, because I've had some wonderful correspondence with one of the priests there. So the Orthodox Church in the Philippines has been there about three decades, and it struggles, and it continues to struggle. There is a priest named Father Pancharios. His name before our ordination was Joseph Borius. And here's part of a letter that he wrote me as we were talking about what kind of help he needs in his situation. And I've edited it because he had some very touching things in there, but they were very personal. Support for our meals, mobility, going to the mission areas, and other attached expenses to bolster our sacramental ministry has not been given since May 2016. This was written at the end of 2017. I have been surviving on the off and on meager donations I was able to beg, including the support for the meals and transportation of the Taboli children from my friends who understand my personal needs and some Orthodox faithful. I had to find a job to provide meals and medicine and pay the bills of my family. My movement now as a priest to doing mission work in three Orthodox communities and churches here in southern Mindanao will be too constricted. The salary that I get at my secular job is $250 per month. Too small to meet my family needs, but I have to agree to it. My contract will finish on May 2018. Since June 2017, I have never visited the two churches and communities in Davao, which are 200 kilometers away from the center of Sarawak. I end up serving Lake Cebu on Sundays, only because I have to work from Monday to Saturday, 8 to 5 p.m. every day. As of now, I am getting negative responses from the faithful to the detriment of their spiritual life. On my part, I have been eroded spiritually because of the values of materialism and secularism. My hope is the stability of my life as a missionary priest and the stability of the mission, so that I will not forever depend on other people for my family needs. If I can only establish the stability of my family support and the mission to financially become self-supporting, well, he says something about our parish. Finally, with much agony, I don't want to tell you this. Well, perhaps I won't share that with you. Well, through the generosity of parishioners that always are sending little and not so little gifts now and then, I knew that he had an immediate need for some money, and we sent him $2,000. This was the response. Here's what they did with that $2,000. Today we are starting to use the money to convert a warehouse into an Orthodox church building. And this will be perpetually used by the Orthodox faithful. This is at the Lake Cebu Church. This warehouse is offered by the owner of the place where at present we have temporarily used as a church building for 11 years. He says, we hope that your parish will sustain us more with your support until we have this new place for worship as dignified as possible, worthy of Orthodox stature and prestige. Well, you get the picture. And it is such a blessing to sit here in a parish that has really everything. We could not be in a better position. In fact, our parish council wants to work now to begin to figure out exactly how we can use the talents God's given us to really do great things. And by contrast, in a different part of the world, you have people struggling to establish churches so that they can expand the church in their way and in their culture. And even beyond the few things I've outlined this morning, there's still so much more we can and could do here at Holy Trinity, and I don't know what they are, because almost all of the good things that we do around here were not my idea. Somebody else said, hey, Father, I've got a great idea. And they were right, it was a great idea. And so right now, this morning, as we sit here today praying, there might be somebody sitting here who says, you know, and I know a ministry, I know a need, I know a struggle, a human pain that our parish could meet. What a great time of year. What a great time of year to consider our responsibilities to others. Because this is the time of year. This is the time of year when we should be thinking about eternity. And while it's true you can't take it with you, Jesus does tell us elsewhere in Matthew that we should lay up treasures in heaven. So helping people and doing good things is a well-established tradition of our parish. It's nothing theoretical for us. It's not part of some wish list, something we hope to do one day. We're doing it right now. And perhaps together during this great Lent, you and I might prayerfully consider how it is we can do even more to provide for the least of our brethren.